From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott, and we've reached the halfway point of the legislative session. Today is day 20 of 40, and the pace is beginning to quicken. In the House, lawmakers spent about 10 hours this week listening to testimony on a bill overhauling the state's voting machines and election laws.
We've already suffered through 16 years of paperless, unverifiable, unauditable, unrecountable elections.
And the Senate moved forward on a plan that would potentially expand Medicaid for some Georgians in the coming years. We welcome GPB Stephen Fowler. He's our politics reporter and legislation whisperer. He's back in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. It sounds like a bit of a yell at sometimes.
Yes, we can't help but get a yell in terms of the legislator. And so let's begin. Something that you have been following for months now, Georgia's voting system. HB 316 filed last Friday by Representative Barry Fleming of Harlem. What does it propose?
So the biggest piece of change would be the machines that we vote on in Georgia. What we use now is a touchscreen direct recording electronic machine, which means everything is stored on the machine. This new bill would switch us over to ballot marking devices, which are touchscreen machines that have some sort of printed paper trail added to the mix. It also would change a lot of state election laws and codify things that federal judges ruled on last November, and would make some changes to things like voter registration, to absentee ballots that Democrats have sponsored and pushed for as well.
So this is a biggie. And as you've reported, the bill calls for the state to move from its current machines to ballot marking devices. So first, what is a ballot marking device and how is that going to affect how votes are counted?
So the ballot marking device is a touchscreen device. It's similar to how we vote now. You go in, you touch the screen of who you want to vote for. And at the end, depending on how what vendor we choose and how we do it, a piece of paper is printed out, or your vote is printed on a piece of paper that is then scanned in by county election workers at the precincts. We've got barcodes as an option, QR codes as an option, or optical character recognition, which scans the actual text of the people that you voted for. A lot of that will depend on the RFP, the proposal, and what the Secretary of State picks, but that's what we're working with when it comes to a ballot marking device.
Okay, so would a voter get that piece of paper and hand it in somewhere, or is it collected in some other kind of way? Do we know?
Well, yeah, that also depends on the specific things, but, you know, sometimes it's a piece of paper that things are printed on, or it's a pre-printed piece of paper that then things are marked, and then it goes into a secure box. I tested some that looks like a giant trash can with a big lock on top, so you would vote and it would go someplace safely stored. You wouldn't, you know, walk and hand your vote in to someone.
Mm-hmm. So paper trail, no human error there in passing something off. Let's talk about some of the election law changes that are in this bill. As you mentioned, as a result of some of the judges ruling or some federal judiciary rulings in November, what kind of tweaks to, say, absentee ballots?
Well, so one of the change in the bill itself would change the oath on the outside of absentee ballots. If you request one, it mails you these envelopes, and on the outside of the actual ballot is this oath where you say, I insert your name here, basically am an elector, I'm qualified, blah, 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 blah. And one of the things that was on there before, you would have to write your birth year, your signature, and some other things. But that was confusing for some people in this election. Ballots were rejected for people putting 2018 instead of their birth year and everything. So the new simplified oath would still have the same, I promise to do, you know, that I'm all of these things, but you would just sign your name at the end. And there's also changes to when an absentee ballot is rejected. There wanted to be some proposals for having more stricter notifications, so that you would have to get a call or an email or things like that. And now it's also taking longer for somebody to be removed from the voter rolls if they're inactive or they don't have contact by either voting or responding to a postcard or things like that, which was also a big bone of contention.
Huge deal, voters being removed from rolls or those charges made. The Election Subcommittee of the House Governmental Affairs Committee also met for about 10 hours over 3 days and heard from dozens dozens of elected officials and concerned citizens about this bill. So, Stephen, was there a general consensus of opinions among Republicans and Democrats?
Well, so you have, on the legislative side, you have two camps. You have the Republicans that voted for the bill, for the ballot marking devices, for using this technology and things like that. And then the Democrats who were opposed and kept trying to provide amendments to the bill to make more provisions and make things more clear. And then for the public and the people that testified, you had elections officials who all testified that they prefer ballot marking devices. As the people who run elections, they say this is what's easiest for us. It's easiest to explain to voters. One elections official said that she's been doing this for 30 years in multiple counties, doing all aspects of elections, and ballot marking devices were the easiest. But most of the people that spoke, the average Georgians that spoke, that came up, said that they wanted hand-marked paper ballots, which is different from a ballot marking device.
You don't use a, there's no computer interface there.
Right. Well, there may be
just
some sort
reading.
Of something to scan.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they say, and some computer science experts spoke that we've heard from before, they say that the state needs to use paper ballots for cost and security reasons.
Okay. So we're hearing that from computer experts. These things have been discussed a lot. So I guess the decision is what system to use, and you're going to be reporting on that. One amendment that has been added to this bill would weaken what is known as the exact match law, another big bone of contention over the election. As you've reported, if someone's voter registration does not exactly match a state or federal database, then their registration is put on hold. Here is Democrat B. Wynn talking to the committee yesterday.
We know that the legislation disproportionately impacts voters of color, with African American voters constituting 70% of pending registrations, and Asian Americans, Latino, and African American voters constituting 80% of pending registrations.
Okay, so she's saying people of color singled out, or let's say most affected by this. What would this amendment do to that exact match law?
So the exact match law as it stands now is related to this pending list that people heard about a lot during the election. So it says that when you go to register to vote, if your name or your information does not exactly match the Department of Driver Services or the Social Security Department database, then it is flagged, it's pending, your registration does not move forward, but you could vote if you went in person to your election office and rectified it with your ID and things like that. Now, I don't have the exact text of the amendment because it was an amendment to an amendment that was happened, that there was tweaking going on in the committee hearing. But basically, this new provision would say if you register to vote and there's some sort of, you know, a data entry error, or, you know, something was put in wrong, or there's some sort of question, your registration still goes through. It does have some sort of flag on it. And when you go to vote in person, as long as you bring your ID, they'll fix it there, which you already have to bring some form of ID to vote. So Democrats and Republicans agreed that this would make it easier to go beyond those data entry errors or things like that. And Representative Wynn pointed out in the committee hearing that she had several committee assignment papers and things like that, and noticed that her name was spelled wrong in several different committee meeting lists. And another Democrat, Representative Renita Shannon, her first name was spelled wrong on multiple things. And she noted, as an Asian American and African American, that it is common to happen, and it was no malicious thing. So she used that to prove a point that this exact match law, when there are errors, are usually human errors and not voter fraud or things like that.
Any other amendments to the bill that have been added to that original version?
Well, so one amendment was added by Representative Scott Turner. He's a Republican that added this provision for what's known as a risk-limiting audit. Now, this would be once the election is done, to do an audit of results and make sure things are accurate and counted right. This would create a pilot project for some counties and jurisdictions to take a look at this audit process. And if that works, then the Secretary of State can implement it statewide for everywhere. And I should add that audits are something that voter security experts and the general public have said that Georgia's election system needs, with the current system that we have, you can't really audit the machine because it's a memory card on the machine. And if you ask the machine what the machine says, the machine is going to say the same thing, whether or not it's accurate. And another would like streamline some language around machines and voting language and stuff that the sponsors worked with a group called Verified Voting about. And one of them codifies a rule that would place a notice at the polling place saying that assistance is available for people who need it, like blind and mentally disabled people and other people who need extra assistance. This would just allow there to be signs placed in polling places to let people know that assistance is available.
Yeah, so many complaints and lawsuits and attention to Georgia about elections and the methods of voting this fall. So now the legislature is dealing with them, and we're hearing from GPB politics reporter Stephen Fowler about what they're doing this week and this week in Georgia politics in general. But I want to stick, Stephen, with the topic of voting for just a minute. Earlier this week, a U.S. House panel of Democrats came to town to hear about voting problems in Georgia. They talked to gubernatorial nominee Stacey Abrams, a Fulton County voter, and others. What did they learn?
Well, what they heard, if you lived in Georgia and followed the election, wasn't necessarily new information or bombshells. But what it was the panel of House Democrats who are now in charge of the House in Washington gathering evidence of problems that people have with voting, and specifically minorities and people of color. And they're using it to gather evidence towards eventually strengthening the Voting Rights Act of 1965. There was a provision that had states with histories of changing things and making it harder to vote for minorities, that they had to get preclearance from the federal government whenever they made any sort of voting changes. But that was stripped out a few years ago. So now that Democrats are back in charge of the House, with this election, they're arming themselves with evidence to sweep things forward.
Also this week, a voting rights group founded by Stacey Abrams held a town hall event at a church in East Atlanta. There, they announced an update to an ongoing federal lawsuit that's challenged the way that we vote in Georgia. Here is Fair Fight. That's the name of the group. CEO Lauren Growargo.
But the actions and inactions of the state of Georgia that have led to the systematic suppression of the votes of all people, in particular voters of color, will not stop. We will keep fighting.
So, Stephen, what does this add to the case made by the federal lawsuit or for HB 316 that's now working its way through the statehouse?
So what the announcement was that several faith groups and organizations were signing on as plaintiffs to this federal case, and it kind of adds heft and weight to their argument that people of color and minorities and other groups were being disenfranchised by the way Georgia's election system currently runs and operates. And so, you know, it's not adding necessarily any new evidence or any new accusations or allegations, but it's providing a broader picture of how many people Fair Fight says was affected by the way the system was run, and hopefully they're trying to change it. Now, this lawsuit wants to fundamentally overhaul how we vote in Georgia. HB 316 would also fundamentally overhaul how we vote in Georgia. And a third lawsuit that has been allowed to move forward and appeals have been denied would also seek to fundamentally change how we vote in Georgia. So it's kind of a race to what's going to happen first and what's going to have the most precedence. Now, the state has said in those lawsuits that the two lawsuits would try to lawmake or rulemake outside of the legislature. So the legislature has this bill, which will probably ultimately, whatever they decide in the state house, will cause these lawsuits to be dismissed. But there's certainly influence and interplay between all of those. So the gist is we're going to have a fundamentally different way of voting in Georgia in the next year or so.
Okay, so Stephen's also reported on a bill about reviving horse racing in Georgia and another one helping to create a state airport authority to take control of Hartsfield-Jackson Airport and rural broadband. People can look at the listeners can look at those online. As we thank you so much, Stephen, for keeping your ear to that whisper or yell, as the case may be.
Thanks for having me.
GPB politics reporter Stephen Fowler. He's also host of the GPB education series, which is called Peach State Politics. And you can submit any kinds of questions you have about the legislature to him at gpb.org/PSP. So after months of restoration, the Cyclorama, the Battle of Atlanta, back at the Atlanta History Center. We're going to hear more about it when On Second Thought continues. Mm-hmm.